As we continue to look at Matthew's Gospel, this morning we are actually thinking about the Christ who forgives. I think more than anything else, you know, on like Remembrance Sunday, the fact is we need to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who can heal and forgive and to bring reconciliation. And that we come to our Lord Jesus who can bring healing and forgiveness and hope and purpose. And Matthew chapter 9 really speaks about, in verse 1, after Jesus being rejected by the folk on the other side, Gadarene, Jesus travels back across to the lake to his own town. And verse 1, getting into the boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city or town, where he based his ministry in Capernaum. And the men at Gadarene had plainly indicated that they didn't want Jesus to minister health and healing to them. So Jesus does not linger where he is not wanted. Here in this earlier part of Matthew chapter 9, a legion of demons were powerless to keep him out, but the humans do not desire his holiness, his authority, and his power. So Jesus returns to his own city. And as we look at this passage, firstly, I want to pick up the declaration that Jesus makes. And when the people discover that Jesus was there, they came to take advantage of his compassion. And we see this in verse 2. Upon seeing a broken paralytic in verse 2, Jesus intentionally stresses his authority to forgive sins. And it says in verse 2, and they brought him a paralytic lying on the bed, seeing their faith. Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, your sins are forgiven. And I think we must never lose sight that we serve an awesome and a wonderful Saviour. A Saviour that can meet us at our point of need. A Saviour that can touch our lives and bring hope and purpose. A Saviour that can actually speak into our lives on a day-by-day basis. And whatever we are facing, whatever we are experiencing, our Lord Jesus speaks his word into our lives. For some of us, it might be that word of assurance to cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Or the other promise that he will never leave us or forsake us, that the Lord is our helper. But what Jesus actually says to this paralytic, that word of assurance in verse 2, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. And that we come to a Lord that does offer his forgiveness. Just let me illustrate it. Every Sunday, the same group of seven people would come to this particular church. They were friendly. They would sit at the back and the service would start. Then about after 10 minutes or so, the minister spent time with the children, they would leave the service And they did this for several months. And obviously, the minister and the pastor was trying to work out, why would they just come for 10 minutes and then leave the service? And finally, the pastor asked them why they did this. The leader of the group spoke up and told the pastor, we are actually members of another church. And we like coming to the beginning of your church service because every Sunday we hear something that we don't hear anywhere else. Every Sunday you say to us, your sins are forgiven in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus has redeemed us. That we know God's forgiveness. And you tell us that Jesus took away our sins at the cross. But we don't hear that at our church. So we come to receive that message. That message of hope. So that we can confess our sins to God. Your sins are forgiven. Then we go to our own church where our family or friends attend. We come to a Lord Jesus who saves to the utmost. A Lord Jesus who meets us at our point of need. A Lord Jesus who has rescued us through the cross at Calvary. A Lord Jesus that we know his forgiveness. It's interesting to read about the other gospel accounts. Mark and Luke explains that they actually climb. These four men climbed to the roof, removed the tiles, and dug through the structure to create a hole large enough to lower their friend right in front of Jesus on a stretcher. This reveals the crowd was unconcerned with the paralytic man. They would not make room for him so that he could be brought to Jesus. It's significant also to notice that these four men were determined to do their utmost to overcome any obstacles that prevented them bringing their friend to Jesus. There was the crowd. There was no room to receive them. There was not so much a door. Well, they couldn't get through the door because of the crowd. What did they do? They went up to the flat roof, removed some of the covering, then lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus, the one who could heal his body, the one who first can save his life. We need, as God's people, as God's servants, to bring people to Jesus. For us, for some of us, we might have family or relatives that don't believe. It might be situations. But what can we do in that situation? To me, it is the power of prayer. Praying for those situations. Asking God to intercede. If we believe that we serve a living Lord Jesus who conquered death, who is alive forevermore, who is in heaven interceding for his church, interceding for us. We serve a Lord Jesus who is the living God, the God of all miracles. See, Jesus saw their faith, their determination to overcome any obstacle, to get their friend to Jesus. And the first words Jesus says to this man, take heart, son. Jesus ministers to this paralytic deep need and the powerlessness. Something good is about to happen. And Jesus says, take heart, my son. Our low times are often the result of that negative attitude towards life. And Jesus would encourage us to listen to him, to believe that he is the Savior, he is the Lord, he is the master of every situation, the conqueror of every enemy. Sometimes we concentrate just on the powerful giving, healing hand of Jesus. But first and foremost, he is the Savior. He is the rescuer. He is the deliverer. He has the power to forgive spiritual sickness in the form of sin. Jesus saw in this paralyzed man a need greater than physical health, the need for spiritual health. The literal translation here is, your sins have been sent away. Every single sin you have committed in your life has been sent away. Your sins have been sent away. Where? To the cross. And there Jesus received your sin and my sin. And it was put on himself. And he took our ultimate punishment that we deserve for our sins. He stood in our place. He suffered and died so that you wouldn't and me wouldn't have to suffer and die eternally, but to know God's forgiveness. Secondly, I want to pick up the opposition he faced. The opposition he faced. And if you're following in the Bible, I want to really pick up verses 3 and 4. At this, some teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Jesus' declaration of forgiveness brings a charge of blasphemy from the teachers of the law present in verse 3. I think what I find challenging is that these teachers of the law were the spiritual leaders. They were the religious leaders of their day. But they had closed minds. And they actually say, this fellow is blaspheming. Jesus looked around and saw the critics. They should have been coming with open minds and hearts, seeking the truth instead of having critical minds and seeking heresy. And when the Lord looked within, he saw their critical spirit in their hearts and knew they were accusing him of blasphemy. Of course, Jesus was the only one who could heal and forgive this paralytic because he is the searcher of hearts. Just let me illustrate it. A tourist was once staying in an inn in northern Italy where the floor was dirty. He thought he should advise the landlady to scrub it when he perceived it was made of mud. And more she would scrub, the worse it would become. We come to a Lord who offers us forgiveness. We come to a Lord who offers us healing. We come to a Lord who gives us that new beginning. And sometimes, as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, there are things that happen from time to time where we get bruised or damaged, or we find hard to cope with. We need to bring those situations to the Lord. See, Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knows the heart. God knows the heart. Just forget the miracle for a moment. Our Lord knows what we are thinking today. Our Lord knows what we are facing today. Even while this miracle is taking place, there are other things happening to give proof to the fact that Jesus is God. In verse 5 it says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. Certainly anyone can say, your sins are forgiven. There would be no way to prove whether any action had taken place. But if one says, rise, take up your bed and go home, the power and the authority behind that statement can be verified or denied by watching whether or not the person is able to get up and walk. Therefore, now the attention he gave that command, rise and walk. And explaining his purpose, he turns to the paralytic and says, rise, take up your bed and go home. All three actions are important. Rising, lifting and walking were impossible for the paralytic. And the conclusive evidence of the power to restore to health and wholeness, the healing of the paralyzed man, extends the authority of Jesus. He is the one who forgives sins. We don't need to come to a priest. We don't need even to come to a pastor. We need to come to the Lord Jesus, who has redeemed us. It is the one who has saved us. Verse 6. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. See, the command to the paralytic, in fact, proves more than his sins are forgiven. It indicates the authority of the forgiver. In Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, the vision speaks of the Son of Man coming with the clouds. He approached the Ancient of Days, was given absolute authority over all creation so that the people would worship him. Jesus is claiming his authority for forgiveness on earth as an extension of his authority in heaven. And Jesus brings on earth the authority of God. And as we live our lives out as his children, as we live our lives out as God's community here at Calvary, we serve a Lord who has conquered death, a Lord who has all authority and power. And our tremendous hope is the fact we believe that Jesus forgives sins because he died and rose again on the third day. and the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. And what about all those other problems we bring to Jesus? Our worries about money, health, our concerns about family members, our future, the struggles that we face. And what does Jesus do about those? Why, the fact is, we come to a Lord who meets us at our point of need. That his grace is always sufficient. He pours his love into our lives. Do you remember Romans 8 and verse 32? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how much will he also along with him graciously give other things? We come to a Lord who offers us forgiveness, but a Lord that we can come and to know his presence and his grace and his strength. Verse 7 simply states the result of Jesus' word to the paralytic as he got up and went home. Tremendous hope that we have. Thirdly and finally, I just want to bring the final point, the impact of this miracle. Verse 8 records a typical impact of the working of this miracle. The people who saw it glorified the Father, but when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. See, God wants us as a community, as individual believers, be people of worship and praise that would affirm and declare that we serve a wonderful Saviour, a risen Lord, and the joy of our salvation. Just let me illustrate it. Once upon a time, there was a king who went hunting with his friend. And as the king shot the arrow, his thumb came off. His friend said this: "Praise God, because our God is in control." At this, the king was so furious, so angry, he threw his friend into prison. Sometime later, the king went hunting again when he ventured into a distant land where he'd never been before. Suddenly, he was surrounded by cannonballs, and they tied him up and they were ready to cook him when they saw that one of his hands did not have a thumb. And they say, "Not perfect for cooking," said the chief, and they let him go. He went back to his friend in prison and released him and apologized sincerely. "You were right. Not having a thumb saved my life." His friend said, "Praise God that I've been in prison for such a long time." And the king said, "How can you praise God?" And the man responded, "If I hadn't been in prison, I would have been hunting with you. And look, I got two thumbs." Whatever situation we face in our own personal lives, whatever difficulty confronts us, whether we are on the mountaintop rejoicing and praising God, or whether we are in the valley, we come to a Lord who makes that difference, who meets us at a point of need. In verse 8, we actually see the crowd's reaction was to praise God for the healing. There was no mistake that Jesus' authority came from God. They praised God that he had given authority to men. Their understanding was limited, although it grows throughout the gospel. To men indicates that they thought Jesus like one of the prophets, like Elijah and Elisha, who had performed miracles upon miracles. They hadn't yet come to the point to truly discover that Jesus is the unique one, the Messiah, the very Son of God, God himself, who has the power to forgive sin. If they had, great repentance leading to salvation would be granted that day. Why is it sometimes we are more impressed with healing miracles than the miracle of forgiveness and restoration? See, they glorified God because Jesus had brought healing and deliverance to this man. Sometimes people seek to applaud Jesus for his miracles and refuse to heed what his miracles always point to. That Jesus that has power and authority, that he is God himself, that he has come to meet our greatest need, and that is the forgiveness that we need to receive. Our Lord Jesus went to the cross for us, to rescue us, to set us free, to endure suffering, but through suffering, offer us eternal life, offer us hope. Be of good heart, lay hold by faith all that Christ wants to do. One of my favourite verses is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And it speaks about the fact that in Jesus Christ, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. Not only do we serve a Saviour and a risen Lord, we serve a great High Priest who will intercede, who will meet us at our point of need. The Lord that we can come to any time and to pour our hearts out to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.